Blog Talk Radio.
Baby,
How are you guys? T. Meyer, are you there, my brother?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
All right. This is a tough one. This show right here, we're, you know, every Friday I do this show, and it's a very special a show because it's about the legacy of Solar Records, the music that was made from that, the little company that could and did. All of the people that worked inside the building to help on the side, the artists that were in the studios recording and producing, and so it's a wonderful celebration of everybody, every part of the body of Solar. And but this day it's a little different because one of the very special, amazing people by the name of William Shelby has lost his life here on Earth, and now we are here to celebrate his life and share some thoughts. So today is a very different kind of day. I'm very, very nervous because it's hard. It's very hard when someone's been in your life for 45 years plus, you know, and like T. Meyer, he's known him even longer. And so this is a hard day for me. So that's why T. Meyer is here, because he's not only from Lakeside and been around Will all his life, but he's also my big brother. And so I'm going to lean on him. So how you doing, T?
I'm doing fine, you know, and just the fact of, you know, the whole Solar family was shocked this week, you know, as an unexpected thing. And I heard somebody say, out of all people, you know, William Shelby, and, you know, and that's the first thing you think. I mean, you never would have even expected that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so it is painful, especially when I think back of little Will. You know, we called him Naughty, Naughty, like a little naughty boy. But, you know, we didn't say naughty. We said Naughty. And he was always around when we would go over Thomas Shelby's house and practice. We'd be singing and hanging out, and Naughty was always there. Little Will was always there. Mm. And I didn't know how music – Yeah, I didn't know how musically inclined he was, you know, because he would just be hanging out. He would, you know, he wouldn't interfere. And a couple of times, you know, when we were just not rehearsing, but just hanging out and singing, he would jump in on some harmony parts. And I was like, okay, Lil Will can sing, you know. And then I realized he can really sing, and he can, and he was, he got into the keyboards really good. I said, this little dude's a musician, you know.
Yeah.
And we were all proud of him, you know. A little Naughty. Look at Naughty, man, you know. And then we left and came out to California, you know. And then a little bit later, William came out. And then the next thing I knew, I heard that he was working with Leon Silvers writing songs, and I was like, my goodness, go, man. You know, we were all very proud of him, very proud, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, you met him way back then, and then he 79. Joined Dynasty. Yeah, and he joined Dynasty, and I said, this little dude is doing it, you know. That's good. Coming right out of Dayton, get right in here and jump right on in the mix.
Yeah.
And he was doing good.
Yeah.
And you guys, you know, had your string of hits and being on tour and all of that, you know, he just came right on into the business.
Yes.
But, you know, it's written that your gifts will open doors for you. And he had gifts. He had talent. And it opened doors for him.
Wow. T. Meyer, how old was Will when he started coming around you guys?
Oh, man. You know what? I can't say exactly how
roughly,
old he was.
Just roughly.
Let me see. Maybe 10, somewhere around in there. I mean, he was a little
baby.
Boy.
He is a little boy.
Yeah.
And you and Tommy was in a group with you guys, right? Is that what was happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Tommy was already in, he was already in the group at that point. And even before Tommy got in the group, everybody, all of Dayton, Ohio, knew Thomas Shelby. So
yeah,
he was very popular anyway, you know. So,
yeah.
You know.
He has that kind of personality, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there was
God.
A big party. You know, if there's a big party or a big event going on, if Thomas Shelby is going to be there, then it's a big event and everybody
yeah.
was going to come. So, you know.
And so in the beginning, was your group, what was the name of the group when you guys got started?
When Lakeside really first got started, it started with, it was Mark and myself. And two other guys, Brian Mulberry and James White. We called him Tony.
Okay.
And it started. And then Steve Shockley, he was about, I think Stevie was about 13 or so during that time, but he was playing in a band called the Monterays. Of all full-grown men, but great musicians, but they were full-grown men, and he was the musical director. He was the lead guitar player back then at that age, you know. So we all knew, you know, and we all lived in the same area, so we were always over each other's house, and somehow Stevie got the Monterays to let us, you know, be on their show, and they played behind us, the Nomads.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it got started. And then after we performed for a while, the Monterays decided they wanted to go out on tour, but we couldn't go because we were still in high school. We were still in school.
Right.
And so then they fired us, and Stevie and all of us.
We can't go.
So then,
we just...
Yeah. And so then, you know, we said, well, we have to find a band. And I already knew Norman Beavers and his brother Vincent. I knew them already. And then one day Stevie called me up and said, "Hey man, I got a band." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "We're gonna come over." And they came over to my house, and they set up. And as soon as Norman and Vincent walked in the door, I said, "I know them," you know. And they set up, and it just started happening, man. It started sounding good, and then we had to find a band, and I think that's when Stevie found he found Terry Williams.
Oh, okay.
And he was our first drummer.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And it just started, it started growing from there, man. And it
wow.
That's how we started, man.
Yeah, and Will was 10.
Yeah, he was real young. I'm saying about that age. He was definitely younger.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We were already.
But he was just hanging
school,
out.
So he was
he
much
was just
younger.
He was that little brother, just following his big brother around. Wherever Tommy went.
He didn't always go everywhere Tommy went. Like when we would go over to their house, then because Will was doing, I don't know what Will was all into, you know, but he would come through the house and. All of that, you know, and while we were sitting around or practicing steps or just singing or whatever, and just Will was there, man. It was just always, you know, Naughty was just always there. He was always around. A lot of the places we performed at, he was too young to, you know, to go into the clubs and stuff, so he couldn't go there.
All right. So, listen, I have a couple of other friends of Will's calling in from Ohio, I believe, Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. How you doing, man?
Yeah.
Good.
Man, just been you know. As good as you can with what's going on, you know that.
Yeah, I know. So Ron, who else do you have on the line with you?
Jackie Boy, Kerry Rutledge.
This is Kerry Rutledge, man. Hey, T. Meyer, what's going on, friend?
Kerry, what's all right, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. How's everybody doing, my friends? Everybody's good. I'm good. I I've been around. I've been living out of the country. I've been living in the Dominican Republic for the last few years. I'm actually in Columbus now, because you guys know that the Philharmonic is going to be doing something next week with the groups from Dayton,
yes.
Ohio. So I'm gonna be a part of. Yeah, I'm gonna be a part of all of that. So I'm gonna be able to get on stage with the Philharmonic and sing with Touch and sing that Platypus song that we did, Dancing in the Moonlight. So I'm looking forward to all of that.
Oh wow, mm-hmm.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. Hey, let me say God rest our brother, the Commandant Naughty. I called him Naughty. But I knew Naughty when we were like 5 and 6 years old. Trust me, I lived down the street, right down the street from Mr. and Mrs. Shelby, Tommy, and Naughty, and we grew up. I mean, we grew up together because look, man. We were children. We weren't even kids. We were children. And I want to say this. I'm gonna tell you guys something that stuck with my heart. So listen, so growing up and Naughty was always there. Tommy used to come by and sing him. I was too young to be out in the street, so I'd be on the porch. They would be coming down. Carrie, Carrie, baby, come and sing with us tonight. And I couldn't even go out. I couldn't get off the porch. You know, we was that young, right? And Naughty,
that young.
And listen, guys, and Naughty was younger than I was, right? So check this out. One of the most amazing things in my life, bro. After all of that, we all grew up. We all were successful. We all made records. We all in California, right? When Will came out, and he just took the music by storm, right? And one day I talked to him. I said, man, what's up, Naughty? Hey, man, what's going on, Will? He said, hey, McCary, right? You know what, man? We talking. I said, man, Naughty, why would you always walk around Naughty? You know what his answer was, brothers? It's going to blow your mind. He said, man, Curry, I was hearing them grooves back then. I said, what? That's why he was nodding his head. That's why he was nodding his head.
My story, see, me and Will was the same age. We were in the same age group, so we started playing music around the same thing. Even though I went to Ross, he went to Roosevelt. And he had a group called Crystal Love, and I was in a group called Roundtree.
Right.
We would be in talent shows. You know, and we always won the talent show. One particular talent show, Will band, some kind of way the chorus came out. When I came to L.A., Dana and Clifford Bailey, you, Wardell, and Leon, y'all welcomed me in and got me into the music. But Will said, man, you know what? Don't pull no chords on me again when you get out here. But he used to come and pick me.
Yeah. I know that old trick, you pull the chords.
Yeah, he used to say that. But Will would come and get me every day when I first got to L.A., and he'll take me over there to the Elsie Hustle Hall over there in Englewood, because you remember I was staying in Englewood. And that was during the time when we did This Does That Ring a Bell with the other stuff. So he would come and get me every day. You know? And that was when he started doing the stuff with Lakeside. I think Tommy was in and out sometime, I think, then. I'm not sure. But I know he would come over, and Tommy had an old Mercedes that he'd come pick me up in it. We'd go over there and work on songs over there in Englewood. But me and him, I always would see Will sitting at a keyboard. I never knew he played keyboard. I just knew him as a singer. And like T-Mar was saying about his brother, Tommy, I always heard about this Shelby guy whenever we got ready to go play somewhere. Who is this guy? But they was known as singers. And when I would see him, he was always sitting down at a piano doing harmonies with people, him and Ronald Nook.
Right.
And there was another guy in their group. I think his name was, he's dead now, too. I forget what his name was, but them three. As soon as they hit the stage, they didn't even have to hit a note. Everybody, all the girls would start screaming. they were some entertainers. And Will always smiled. He had an infectious smile, so, you know. And I think Steve Arrington was in our age group. It was Steve, and he was, you know, all of us were around the same age playing together. Cornelius was maybe y'all's age, Woodall, but he was playing in the band with us around for tickets. And Roger Parker, he was in the group with us too. But it was fun times. I know we became closer when I got to L.A. I think I played with Crystal Love maybe one time, but we got closer when I was in L.A. He always was checking up on me, coming to get me, make sure I was doing what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, you know, guys, what I want to do, I just want to, you know, because we have a, first of all, I want to say Naughty is William Shelby. That's his childhood name.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah,
and
right.
so when you hear that, because this is, these guys, they go way back with Will, right? And so I remember when I first heard that, because my childhood name was Whitey, which is really weird. Whitey. And so my friends would call into the show sometime and they go, "Hey, Whitey." And I go, "Hold on. You can't, nobody knows that. Don't call me Whitey." But anyway, but you know, I even tried to call Will Naughty and it just didn't work. It just said, nah. Just,
yeah. Well, you know,
that's for the homeboys.
I started to say Naughty myself, but I didn't know, you know, we didn't call him Naughty after we got out in L.A. too much.
He crossed to the big time then, right? He's Mr. William now. So what I want to do is I want to play another. I people are texting me, Whitey. So what I want to do is I want to start from.
Hey,
go ahead,
I was
Parker.
Gonna say, Wardell, when I think about you, I think about me and you at Whitney Houston signing. And you asking Dionne Warwick to give you a hug.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. Okay, so we were in Hollywood. We are in Hollywood, and Whitney Houston was auditioning for Clive Davis over at Arista Records, and we were invited as producers, potential producers, to come and listen to this new artist, right? And so. We get there and like, you know, it's just regular business because we didn't know who she was. She's just, you know, so we get there and everything and we sit down and then all of a sudden I go, "Is that Dionne Warwick over there?" Yes, that is. I completely lost track about while I was there. All I could think about was Dionne and I ended up getting me a hug. I just wanted to hug that woman because she was so big. I can't believe you remember that, Ron. That was a long time ago.
Because remember, we was riding together. We were sitting there together. So.
Wow. That was
before
we were with
you. It was like you went from straight adult to little kid real quick, you know?
real quick. I was a little kid. So, but anyway, so... you know, I enjoyed that part of, you know, us talking about Will. Is there anything else you guys want to share about your childhood with Will? Because the next segment I want to go into is the professional part of William Shelby. So is there anything else you guys want to share about his childhood with you guys?
I'll just remember his smile.
Okay.
Yeah,
T. Meyer?
What I want to say is this. My mother, my father, everybody, because we all grew up together. He was Naughty. We didn't call him. We was Naughty, and he was every day. He was going down the street nodding his head. And I'm telling you, it took all those years for me to finally ask him. He was a grown man making hit records with you, Wardell, and you guys out there. And I said, "Naughty, why are you always nod your head so much?" He said, "Kerry, man, I was hearing them grooves way back then, man." I'm like, "Oh, why?"
That's the truth, man. That's beautiful.
He was always trying to do them steps and doing his steps and doing harmonies. He'd be sitting at the piano all that time. I never knew. I didn't know him or Nooks actually played keyboards. I thought they were actually just giving out parts because they would have some girls around them giving them up. I think Punk and Ford was singing with them at the time or something. And they would be there doing their parts. And both of them was always smiling when I'd see them. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
Yeah.
T. Meyer, you wanted to say something about?
No. We spent more time with William after he came out to California, you know, because he was just a little Naughty.
Back then.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And I know.
Why
did
y'all call him Naughty?
Because he nodded his head.
I don't even know who came up with the nickname. I don't know even who.
I,
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I had to call him Naughty to get Donna Parrish to know who I was talking about. I called Donna Parrish, called me one day, and I was right during, and she said, I kept saying Will. She said, Will. I said, Naughty. She said, oh, because she's in Phoenix right now.
Let me say this to you guys,
because we were all kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, and from day one, his mom and him used to call him Naughty. I'm telling you, Miss Shelby, Mr. Thomas Shelby Sr. used to call him, hey, Naughty, Naughty. That was his home. That came from home. That wasn't from the streets. Naughty, hey, Naughty. You know, that was just because he was, you know, now I know he was hearing grooves, man. I guess he was around Thomas all the time, and Thomas and him had the grooves and stuff going on all the time. So he was just like a child. If you hear the groove, it's going to move your hand. So he was Naughty from the time that when I first met him, we were children. We were children. But, God bless you, man.
God bless you.
Will be.
So I'm going to play a couple things here, and then we'll come back on the other side of this. What I want to play is the beginning of Solar, and William Shelby had Naughty, also known as, had an amazing part of Solar in his gifts, in his blessings, because he wrote the first and second gold record for Solar, and gold and platinum. And then they both ended up going platinum. But it's amazing that here is this guy in the mailroom, working in the mailroom, just wanting to be around like he was when he was younger, just wanting to be around his brother in Lakeside while they were getting, you know, their thing together, just hanging out. And all of a sudden, he's writing the biggest songs for the company that actually launched the company. So, but here's a little bit of what happened prior to that and what ended up happening, the second song that Will did for Solar. Matter of fact, I'm going to change that, and I'm going to play the first song that he did, the first gold record that he did. So let's kick back, relax, and this is Wardell Potts and the gang, T. Meyer, Don Fleming, I can't remember your friend's name, Ron Parker, and your friend?
Terry Rutledge.
All right, guys. Hold on. We'll be right back. Take a listen.
What I've been interested in is really teaching young people how to be in business for themselves.
Richard Gilbert, Dick Griffey, grew up in the J.C. Napier housing projects on Nashville's South Side. Mr. Griffey attended Tennessee State University for a semester before joining the Navy at age 17 and landing in Los Angeles in the 1960s, where he became part owner in the nightclub Guys and Dolls. Once word spread about Griffey's professional treatment of recording artists like Ike and Tina Turner and Isaac Hayes, he was soon booking national tours for major stars like James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, and Stevie Wonder. This earned him the title Kingpin of Soul Promoters and a job as talent coordinator for the television show Soul Train. Mr. Griffey and the show's producer, Don Cornelius, partnered to create Soul Train Records in 1975, which became Sound of Los Angeles Records, or Solar, in 1977 with Griffey as owner. Within 3 years, Solar artists were topping the soul charts and impacting the pop market, leading the Los Angeles Times to name Griffey as the most promising new black music executive of 1980. Griffey would assemble a stable of artists, musicians, and engineers that produced a string of hits so impressive, Solar became known as the Motown of the 80s. Mr. Griffey would extend his influence into the 1990s by mentoring songwriting duo Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Antonio L.A. Reed, who would go on to found LaFace Records.
I'm on the line talking about you.
All right, guys. Man, oh, man. What a...
That was one of my favorites, man.
That's when I met Will and Nadi at that time in 1979. And Leon had this machine going. It's called, and it was a turntable. Actually, what am I saying? Machine. This is a turntable going. And it was playing, it had it's called Drum Drops. Do you remember that, Ron? Drum Drops?
And just, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
And so it was a album, and it had all these different drum beats on it. And so what happened is that Leon was playing, Will was playing the keyboards to this drum beat that was on Drum Drops, and he was playing the keyboard part that you hear right there on the Wurlitzer keyboard that sounds like a rose, but it's a Wurlitzer. And he was playing that part, and then Leon started playing the bass, and so I'm listening.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. Y'all hear me?
Yeah, so it went top down, boom.
I think Wardell left us.
Wardell.
But for everybody that's...
I think Wardell is still on. I'm thinking he's having problems with his mic. So I guess we can
keep this
ball
rolling,
man. How you
been,
Brother T-Mai? I'm good.
Good. And yes,
good. I haven't seen you... It's been so many years.
Yeah, I've been following your Christian talk, and like that.
Thank you, man. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times
I lived in Residence Park when I was in Dayton. Yeah.
Oh,
I went to Ralph Park.
Yeah.
But, see, I'm Steve Arrington and Nadi's age. We're in the same age group.
Oh, okay.
I remember when Lakeside used to practice over on Shannon Tour over at Almond's house.
Right.
Was that Lakeside?
We would split up and practice a little bit everywhere. So anytime the singers may have been over at somebody's house practicing, and most of the time we practiced at my house and Stevie's. That was most of the time. That's when the whole band was practicing. It would be at my house in Stevie's.
Yeah, I lived over there across the street from Shotwell in there. Shotwell and Terry Tyler over in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah
you were over there. Oh, okay.
On Tamar Avenue, yeah. Right? Just to come over there and listen to you guys. That's when y'all was inspiring me to play. But my dad was a jazz musician in Dayton, so I always was around music. But, Cornelius brought me into it really a whole lot. I guess he's going to get back to it. I hear it kind of.
I have a – this is Dawn. I have a question. I got a question for all y'all. You ready for me?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
My question, what was it about that whole Ohio? What was it about that Ohio sound that just kind of made funk music just so significant? And what made you guys like migrate to California? What was the situation? Probably a dumb question on the second part, but I would like to kind of get all of your pick your brains on that one.
I can tell you from my perspective. This is Jaggy Boy Kerry Rutledge. What happened is
okay.
Otis Stokes, what happened is this is I got in the game because I went to Dunbar, and one day as a seventh grader, they allowed us to go to the a talent show up at Dunbar, right? I went to Miami Chapel. So we went up there, me, Ramon Favors, John Bishop, Robert Wiley, we had a little so-called trying to be a group, right? And we went up to the talent show, and what happened is the headliners came out on the, y'all remember John Boatwright, He came out with a 3/4 length coat on and a pimp hat with a feather. And the girls were like, ooh, ooh. And he was so suave. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, the Bad Bunch. And the curtains came over and they broke into by the 5 stair steps. And the girls mm-hmm. just rushed the stage like I'd never seen before. And I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? And I looked up on the stage and I'm like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's David Turner. I know. Wait, that's Thomas Shelby. We all grew up together on the shoot. I know these guys. I was like, wow. That's what made me. That's what gave me the inspiration to go further and to be able to be here talking to you guys and been blessed in this music game all these years, man. That's the truth.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Wait. I'm sorry for the question. So Otis Stokes and I became friends because I ended up being in the Bad Bunch, whatever. And his brother, Arthur uh-huh. Stokes, Hakeem Stokes, right? What happened is me, Otis, Larry Henderson, and James Staten had a group, and we had had tragedy. We came from, I think it was a gig at the Clock Bar up in Clump in Cincinnati, and mm-hmm. Deck, I guess, fell asleep and whatever. He ended up dying out of that wreck, and everybody was messed up pretty bad that was in there except my little cousin, Anthony Calhoun. He walked away with nothing, no scratches. But
right.
anyway,
oh,
at that point...
Here.
The four corners were they had a song that was on Michael Jackson's getting ready to be geared up for Michael Jackson's first solo record, and the one Jerome Johnson said that he wasn't going to California, so I get a call from Dana Myers. He said, "Look, Kerry, you want to come on and practice because we're going to find a baritone." So they invited me to come and rehearse, and I did my first show with them, and everybody said yes. So they said, "Look, you can be a poor corner now. Can you go to California?" I say, "When we leaving?" When are we leaving? My whole thing. Yeah. So I ended up going there, and it was actually 6 months after Lakeside. Lakeside was the trailblazers because y'all, the Lakeside was always on fire. Period around
yeah,
town. Stevie, Shockley, T-Mon, and them guys, they were on fire. And then along came the Bad Bunch with Shelby. And David them, but after that changed up, we became the new Bad Bunch. Me, Otis, Larry Henderson, and somebody else, Staten, James Staten before. And we were raising some cane, but when that accident happened, hey, it wasn't nothing else for us to do but to follow Lakeside and go to California too. And plus, the beautiful thing about it, that Michael Jackson had his first solo album, and the Four Corners had a song on Michael Jackson's first solo album. So that was our trust for going out to California back then. So that
was
the
Ben album.
Yes, the Ben album. Yes, the Ben album. The song called "What Goes Around Comes Around," and that's
okay.
the start of a lot. Start of a lot of our
song.
Careers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, me going to Roth talent shows and being in, my dad played jazz music, and he used to play around in Dayton at the country clubs and all that stuff, and he played upright bass. So I was always around that. My mom played gospel piano. She was in the radio choir for Bethesda Temple. But I actually mm-hmm. had been doing some work with Billy Osborne from LTD. He had been producing our group for something for Motown, and it fell through, and Michael Jackson's dad was managing it. And the group ended up being friends. And I went out, really actually just was going out to go out there for a couple of weeks. And I got in Latoya's band out in L.A. And I happened to call Clifford Bailey. And Dana was over there. And Dana invited me up to Studio Masters. And I went in there and was playing piano in one of the little off studios. Dana started singing something. Leon came from out of the room and said, "Hey, I want you to come over to Charmaine's house and we're going to cut that." And then Wardell came in, and me and Wardell worked on the very first thing that I did when I came out there. You know, Will didn't even know I was there then, and I guess somebody kept saying Parker. And then he called me up. There was another friend of ours named PC. He came out, Paul Caver. And so it was almost like being back at home. When I came to the studio, it seemed like everybody was from Ohio. Because I think James Ingram, or Philip Ingram's brother, whichever one that was in mm-hmm. Switch, he was out in the back of the studio. Me and Otis was older than me, but he went to Residence Park too, so I knew Otis. And I seen him. We were, you know, his other brothers were a lot older. I knew of them. As a matter of fact, one time Platypus came to Dayton, and I was in the studio there. When we all came, and Jerry Weaver was in there, and you guys was helping us do some recording. And I think Calhoun was there, too, from Bat Band. They had came to Dayton. But you guys came in and was helping us record. You guys was on Casablanca then. And it was when I got out there, you know, it was just seemed after being in Ohio struggling to get it done, you know, with everybody then already opened the way, when I got there, it was kind of, you know, pretty easy, you know. And everybody was working and getting it done. I mean, you know, Dana was, you know, instrumental, Wardell, Leon, you know, everybody, you know, from home, but Dana, Wardell, and Leon, you know, that's basically what got me started on the LA thing. And Noddy came and got me every day, you know, because he started playing bass or something, because he kept on had this bass that he kept on saying, man, why don't you show me how to do this or do that? And we would go over there and work out. So, yeah, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, we were strictly by accident because we were in Dayton, you know, making some noise in Dayton, and we decided to go to Oklahoma for a couple of weeks and then come back to Dayton, right? Well, we got to Oklahoma and things didn't go right. The owner of the nightclub pulled out a gun, was getting ready to shoot one of us, and didn't want to pay us our money. All we had was about $70 and one van with a mattress and all of our equipment and about 13 people in it, in the van. And we said, hey, let's just go to California. And so we went to California and performed at this club called California Sahara. We performed for about two people in the audience. And then we slept in the nightclub. We slept in the club during the day and rehearsed during the day and then performed for about two or three people in the evening. And then we heard of Maverick's Flat, and then we went down there and auditioned, and, you know, it's just a long story after that, but that's kind of how it happened with us.
Well,
I can remember Lakeside coming back and doing a guest shot at the talent show at Rock. Y'all was the guest shot. Wasn't in the group then. I don't think that he came out and did one, I think, Elton John song or something. I remember Otis came out because he had his shoes. I think he had a guy that had like a fish in the heel or something like that. But you guys came back to Roth. I was in elementary school then. I think I was maybe a middle school. And you guys came back and I said, man, them guys are great. I thought they was already stars Lakeside when I seen them there because they had a heck of a show always. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Is what else still on the phone?
Yeah,
I'm here. Are you back?
I'm here, yeah. You know, technical difficulties.
Okay.
So, anyway, I really enjoy hearing you guys talk, so I'm glad I have a couple of co-hosts on the line that just keep the show going even if something goes down. Hey, but you guys are all hosting this show, and that's great. I'm excited. But I want to play this song that Ron was talking about when Ron, because that was my first experience working with him, but man, I never heard nobody play the bass like that. He was playing some stuff, and I was like, "Are you serious, dude?" And it was like, you know, Leon. Of course, he played. Leon is Leon, but just somebody out of the blue, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" And so it was so much fun being there and working with another Ohio guy. I'm like, man, these Ohio guys.
Well,
You and Will
used to crack me up because you would come and get me in that Jeep, and we would go over there. I think, what, you staying over there in the Wilshire District then? Then Will had a place, I think, in Englewood. And between you and Will, y'all was keeping me in there. You said, man, just be patient because I was really, you know, I wasn't even planning on living there then, but. You and Will and Damon and Leon, y'all kept pumping me up. You know, I got that little gig playing, and I ended up being there like forever. You know, but
yeah.
It was a good experience. Wardell was cranking out hits then. Everything he was touching. I said, I got to find this magic of what they was doing.
man, that's just the magic of our Heavenly Father, just blessing all of us and giving us. I mean, it was already planned. We just happened to just follow through, man, and just was really blessed with, you know, our gifts, bringing them together. And, you know, and I always did feel like it was this East Coast thing that we brought, the whatever,
right.
You know, that sound, that our gifts, we brought it over to the West Coast and created a new sound, the sound of Los Angeles Records. And so it was fun for me to watch. I mean, Lakeside, oh, Lord have mercy. That's still one of my favorite groups, I tell you. You know,
one thing I can say to that.
Okay,
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say one thing that I can say about working with Will. Not like you guys, I had one song that I've done in my life with Will, and that's because after I did the first Jackie Boy album on RCA, then I went got a deal on Atlantic Records, right? And when the word got out, I get a call from Dana. Dana said, yo, hey, we sent y'all something a couple years ago from Leon, blah, 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 and y'all did it, and blah, blah, blah. But he said, man, let me and Will going to send you something, Kerry. I said, sure, go ahead. And there was a song called Your Love Has Turned Me Out is what it ended up being.
Oh, that,
that
Will?
Yeah, that's
that
Will.
Was
yeah,
Will.
That's Will.
If you remember when we was cutting, Leon called us while when we was doing the album, and he didn't even know I was in. We did it in Columbus. He didn't know I was there.
Right.
He saw you down there working with him, too. I said, yeah. And that was a fluke. I just happened to be at home and came over to a garage where y'all was working on songs and down on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, yeah, we're going to do this one, too.
The one thing that I loved about all of it, because anytime somebody could, it was always somebody trying to get somebody, come on, jump in, man. Just come on, jump in. Come on, jump in. I got a groove. Come on, help me. You got a groove, I can help you. Let's just go. It was all about the creativity. And it all obviously paid off because look at the legacy and things that have been left based on all of us who are talking on this phone right now, you know?
Right. It's been a family when it came from Dayton and Ohio. Especially all the guys who played music in Dayton. It was real family-oriented because I know all the musicians called my mother Mount Park, you know.
Yeah.
Practice over my house. And we had houses, different places. Shelby's mother was like that, you know. She didn't know no strangers.
Right.
You know?
What
was so interesting about Dayton, Ohio? Dayton, Ohio had the support from all of us musicians and wannabe artists and everything. What we had, I don't know if it was in every city, but what we had in Dayton for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, we had parents and teachers even managing us,
trying to make us,
just standing behind us.
That's true. And one thing that I know, that was a big thing that really helped us all out and kept us focused because
we did
have the support of our family and teachers, like you said. And the fact that in Dayton there was so much talent that if I had a gig somewhere, and one of my singers got sick or couldn't do it, we could always call another group in Dayton and say, hey, man, come on over here and do this gig with us. And, you know, so we always switched up like that. So it was pretty cool how we
would
work together.
My dad actually got me started doing that. My dad played jazz around in different jazz places. And when I wanted to play, he wanted me to prove to him I could play. So if one of the jazz musicians called him to do something, he said, yeah, I got a son that can go play. Go blah, 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 what? And that was, you know, that was the check out of the
problem.
Serious it. About it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
He came from good musical stock. William came from good musical stock. He was surrounded by good musicians, serious musicians, which he had no other choice to become one. You know, because he was just around it. That was his life. And he brought that. He brought it out to California.
What was the name of that song that Dana and William Shelby sent you?
That's Kerry.
The song now is on my second Jackie Boy and the Bad Bunch album. The song was Your Love Has Turned Me Out
or something. Right.
Yeah, your love is turning.
We started working on that in, I don't know how the three of us was in Will's two-seater, but the three of us were sitting in Will's, we started it there in Will's car.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dana Myers.
Trust me, that's what Dana said. No, man, that's why I brought it up, because I knew, but if Will, I did not know Will and Dana and probably Wardell, you was everywhere all the time, so shoot, it was just you probably was involved too, bro. So, yeah, I mean, that's
what I'm curious. That's you know, remember you were out there for some reason, and we were sitting in Will's car, the three of us.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Kerry?
Do you remember?
Years ago. Yes, I do.
After all this time, I'm just now knowing you and Will play. That was you and Will's song, baby, because I played on it, but I didn't know. That was something.
Dana was Dana was shopping any and everything to anybody. When he sent me, I guess y'all had a little production theme going on, you know. So
Dana was just a lip saver. We'd be sitting in Denny's, and Dana would hear something run up to his car and start singing his part into his little lip saver.
I'm really grateful and thankful that I got a chance to share the stage with William. I mean, you know, little Naughty running around the house when we were over there. Now, fast forward, and here it is. I'm on the stage, and that was also after I left Lakeside. I went to a couple of Lakeside concerts, and once they knew that I was there, they called me on stage, and William was out front.
I remember
that. It was something to see him out there and doing it with the group, you know, and just he just fit in like a glove, you know. He pretty much knew everyone.
Who's talking with that?
Oh, he grew up with him.
That's T. Meyer.
Huh?
That's T. Meyer.
Oh, I thought so. Okay, that makes sense. Hey, brother.
Hey, fellas,
listen. This is Jackie Boy, Kerry Relish. I'm going to have to jump off now because I got to make a move here. My people just came through the door. So, Ron, I'm going to cut you off,
man.
So you need to call back in. And Wardell, I'm going to be sending you something in the jazz field that I'm doing. Very soon, and I'll call you back. I think I got your personal number. I'll probably call you back later on today or sometime tomorrow, Wardell. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Tomorrow's my birthday. Call.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm not going to answer
Dana,
but okay.
not as old as Dana, but I'm getting
T-Mar, good to hear your voice, my brother.
Good to hear yours.
Okay,
all
right, well, T-Mar, Ron, y'all have a good one.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Much love to everybody, man. Much love to all y'all, bro. Much love.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to play your song, Ron Parker. All right. So, anyway, wow. That was interesting. That was a lot going on there. Man, I have people saying, keep them talking. Don't let them stop talking. Because they're loving the history that was shared and stuff. So, you guys, I thank y'all so much. I really appreciate that. Dana, now that you're here, is there any stories, anything that comes to your heart that you might want to share about William Shelby?
How much time you got?
Go for it, man. Just go for it. I know you.
No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I've known Will since he was maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old. He was naughty, you know, like T. Meyer said. He was, you know.
Yes.
And I saw him in a talent show before I was even doing anything with Tommy, and then brought him out with the Capris when they were in this review called Hunty and the Entertainers. And he came out and sang Get Ready. I mean, his head was bigger than his body, and the microphone was bigger than his head and his body. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that he was up there singing Get Ready, you know, with these professional people and stuff. So it's just like, you know, it goes way back, you know. You know, I spent the night over the house because, you know, singing in different groups with Tommy and stuff. So I've just known, you know, Westwood. So it you know, it just goes back.
He
let us know once he got to L.A. that he was no longer naughty.
Wow.
I don't go by that anymore. Call me William or Will. Naughty was not happening. You got to call him that maybe once or twice after you saw him out here, and that was it.
That was it. That's true.
Something. Wow, man. So what was the one of the first songs that you wrote with Will, Daniel?
It's a Love Thing.
Wow. Jesus. Wow. And that
I was doing the lyrics and for myself at working a temporary job and got to the studio one day this is the second time this had happened and Leon told me that it was going on the whispers.
Oh wow.
The beat goes on, it was the same thing. I didn't write that one, but it was supposed to be ours too, you know, so that's the first thing that got released. I'm trying to think if there was probably something else I wrote with him first, but I don't know. But I think that was the first one that got released.
Okay.
Because there was about four or five things all at once. I mean, I had nothing, and then suddenly a whole bunch of songs, and most of them were with Will.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just how that – everybody – it was so Dayton, you know. The whole thing was so Dayton. It wasn't anything to learn. You knew everybody. It was so weird. Everybody up there, I knew from Maverick Flat or from Dayton or Soul Train. Everybody. So, and like I said, I knew Will from the time he was a little boy. He could barely talk, and he was up on stage singing Get Ready. I couldn't believe it.
So the sound of The Sound of Los Angeles was actually Los Angeles and Dayton.
Right.
Hold up. Don't forget Philly. Come on.
Huh?
Don't forget Philadelphia, bro.
Yeah. Kevin was saying that yesterday, too. He was saying East Coast and Midwest, Philadelphia and Dayton. And L.A., of course, with the three or four guys that was born here. Which was Leon Leon was born in the Midwest, but Ricky and Kevin and Richard. Y'all know Leon was born in Indiana, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah, what's the school, either. The same city? What's the school at Notre Dame? But wherever that is. So,
okay.
So he's from the Midwest to a certain extent. So.
Henry Charmaine. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Olympia. They were born. He was born back there. They were moving around a lot, so.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Man, oh man. Well,
William, you know, he was naughty because he would walk up and down the street. He would move his head side to side like that, nodding.
Oh, that, we were trying to figure out where he got that name from. Who?
He used to walk. Stevie Shelley kind of used to walk like that too, but. You know, nodding his head side to side. But William used to do it. You could see him walking up, you know, up the street. So we just called we called him Naughty. He was little Naughty because that was that time when everybody was little something. The other guy on the same thing with Huntsie was Little Lee because he sung Stevie Wonder songs. So, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
Little T-Bone. No, I'm just joking.
I want a little T-Bone. So. I just want to take a music break real fast and play that song that you and Will did together, and we'll be right back. Give us a second here.
Okay.
Man, oh, man, this is great. And T-Maya, thank you so much for blessing us, man, and doing what you do, my brother.
Can't wait to hear your new song.
The look in your eyes is more than
yes, yes. Woo, that was fun. That was so much fun. And, Dana, I think you were trying to say something.
Oh, yeah, T-Mai has a single coming out, so I was just congratulating, saying I can't wait to hear that on the airwaves, you know.
Oh,
T-Mai,
yeah,
are you still there?
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm still here.
Man.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, praise the I praise the Lord for that, you know.
Right.
And also you, Dana, because you are the one that actually came to me and asked me if I had any songs. And
right. And
lo and behold, I had some.
We liked everything you turned in. We had to figure out which one to go with first. Everything you did was so good. I was really happy about that.
Yeah, man, and we're excited. My family's excited, and it's something, you know. So yeah, I can't wait for everybody to hear it. Also, and it's going to be on different links and working on Amazon and iTunes and all of that too. So it's already
right.
on different things, different radio stations all over Europe now. Since I last had a meeting with Jesse, it's expanded now.
Okay,
I mean, you know, even some parts of the United States and Florida and all of that, it's expanded quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Okay. And people will say, man, I didn't know T-Mai could sing like that. Why didn't they use him before? They hear your voice. They're going to freak out and say, man.
Or me.
Oh. We always have to go to that land of fantasy no matter what. You know?
That's like for some of us, that's all we get.
He's just going to be a singer no matter what, you know?
Somehow. I was so far pots and woods. I was working on it.
Oh, man.
Anyway, man, so this is really about Will, so let's just try to keep it there.
Right. You know, it hasn't come together yet, but I mean, since, and I don't know, I know I can't make it to Arizona on Sunday. It's too short notice, and I know there'll be a dating thing, but we're trying to arrange something. For here on the West Coast for us. So I'll let you guys know how that comes together. But we all have to come together just to be together. We need to be together, you know, just because. We need each other's strength just to get through this. So I'll let everyone know when we figure out where the place is.
Now, I've been doing a gathering for us for probably the last 10 years. And so every 3 years I tried to do it, and then all of a sudden people started leaving, so we started doing it every 2 years.
Yeah, we haven't had it more often, huh? And of course, for sad reasons.
Right, and now so we're thinking, man, we need to do this every year. Forget that.
Yeah, we need to do it. We need to do this. Period. I was talking to Gary Wilkerson, and he was saying at least quarterly, just because we need to see each other. You know, everybody needs to. And see each other and tell each other we love each other, so, you know, that we know that. No matter what happens, we know that, you know. We heard that. I don't get off the phone with any of you guys without saying, you know, love you, dude. I'm never going to do that. So no matter what happens, if we don't see each other again, the last thing you heard from me will be that I love you. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I just I just called Steve Shockley, and I was on the phone with him. And as soon as he answered the phone, I just went at him. I said, man, I just want you to know that you have been a blessing in my life. And I want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you. And I'm so grateful for the gifts that God has given you and given me so that we came together. And he was probably thinking, what is going on right now?
He understands.
Yeah. After I got finished. But while I was saying it, I was like, I hope he just lets me finish. Because until when I got finished, I said, man.
No, he got it. Believe me. The way things are now, everybody gets it.
Yeah, and you need that.
I mean, everybody's been getting it for a while, but as time goes on, we get it even more, and we know that, you know, because we're such a family. I mean, I talk with a lot of people from different record companies and different cities that they grew up in, and nobody cares that much. Maybe they're college people that they went with, but elementary school and high school and or record company, we're different. I mean, we really are. I mean, as far as like, because even, you know, it just, even before we have the internet and stuff, everybody was always, well, where's so-and-so? How's so-and-so doing? What, you know, And now that we got Facebook, I mean, it's you know, we're always constantly in contact, no matter where anybody's
right,
living.
Right,
so,
right,
I mean, Kerry,
right,
we just talked, and he lives in the Dominican Republic.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. He's moved back.
So you know. Huh?
He's moved back for a little bit, I believe. So.
Well, he's back here because of the things that's going on, but he still lives in the Dominican Republic. They have that thing in Dayton, which I wish I could be there for. There's like actually. The Philharmonic Orchestra is going to play songs behind Tony Allen and them back. You know, they're going to play Slave and Lakeside songs and stuff. Touch and Carrie and them are going to sing the songs. I wish I've done a lot of things, but I've never stood in front of a symphony orchestra and sung. So I really hate that I missed that, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
Man. Well, I was fortunate enough to play with one. So, you know,
okay.
Yeah, played symphonies and played, and then I got a chance to play drums. The professor moved me up to the front to play drums. You know, because symphonies are in the back, and I was having a good time.
Right.
But I got busted playing drums to the music of what we were performing the orchestra, and he was like,
"Wow,
let me hear what you're doing." I was so scared. I was in college. I was like, "What?" I thought he was going to kick me out of the school. I was so scared. And when he heard it, he said, "I need you to start playing drums in the front of the class." And so the funniest part about it, to move to the front, you know, that's like being a singer. I've never been in the front.
Right.
I've always been in the back, you know, driving the groove. And so to move to the front, that was just. But then,
you're always trying to be a singer nowadays? Is that why?
Yes.
But you know something, man. When you really look back and you think of everything, you know, a little guy that used to nod his head walking down the street named William, but
right.
We called him Noddy. When you think of somebody like William, who come from a little city called Dayton, loved music, made music with a lot of his friends and stuff, and then you think that he comes to California and get with some songwriters there and start making music, and now he's written classic songs that's going to last for
classic
I don't
songs.
Know how long. You know, and that's just amazing, you know, and that's
amazing
all of our
story,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of
us,
we had no idea. Yeah, and we had no idea that the songs that we worked on, songs that we wrote, songs that we performed or sung on, we had no idea these songs would become classics.
Right. We're just doing it, trying to get there, right? We're just
trying to get there.
Now it's turned out, you know, nobody would have guessed that, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was fun. It was fun. We had so much fun doing it. And people tell me all the time, they can hear the fun in the music. It just sounds like you guys are so enjoying yourself. And we really were. It was a beautiful family. It was like we were in some kind of school of music, and
like a club too. I mean, you didn't have to be working on your project. You could just go into Studio Masters and go in the boxing room and write with somebody.
Exactly.
No matter what project was going on in the booth. You know, I mean, I just Midnight Star and Lakeside, or just anybody that was around. That's why it was so much fun. You got to know everybody, and we were truly family. And I would do that over again. If anything in my life, I would do over again. Solar is one of them.
Yes. Hey, T-Mine, did you hear that about the boxing room?
And I know a lot of people don't know what he was talking about, but in this particular studio, they had a room that they were still working on, and the room was pretty much empty. And we would go from the recording room after recording, and we would go to the boxing room, and people would put on gloves, and we would box.
Right.
It's funny that you mentioned that. That was so funny.
Well, did they?
You know?
I know, because Dana, do you remember when I knocked you out twice?
I never went to the boxing room for boxing. It was always about grooves, because they had the little pianist back there. I wrote all kinds of stuff with people back then. I remember once, I wish somebody had recorded it, T. Meyer, you and Tommy and somebody else. Actually, it was a bunch of y'all, a bunch of Lakesiders. I was just standing there, and I can't remember if somebody's playing the pianet and maybe somebody had a guitar. and you guys started, you made this song up. The melody was actually good, but it was a joke. Got cold, I got wet feet. You were talking about, you know, it was country. You guys made up a country song about being afraid about getting married, and it was hilarious. But the hook and the melody was great. I wish somebody had actually saved it. You know, do you remember that at all?
No,
you there's too much comedy going on back there to remember. But it was actually good,
yeah.
So I remember the song. You know,
yeah.
You know, got cold feet, got nervous. That was a little got nervous, got cold feet.
Yeah,
it was killing.
Dana has a memory.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
Dana, he's like an elephant, man. He never forgets stuff. Dana can remember things. I mean, my goodness. And detail,
yeah.
You know.
You don't remember me knocking him out, but anyway, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Well, you know, actually.
The wrong information. You got the wrong information.
I'm going to tell you, actually, the studio master's boxing room, you know that I was undefeated.
What?
I just wanted to put that out there.
In the studio master's
boxing room, I was undefeated.
Yeah, I believe that. You in there by yourself.
No, I boxed a few people.
Who's you boxing? You boxed Dick Griffey?
I just boxed I did box
Dick Griffey. I was there for that one.
Dick Griffey cheated.
Oh.
Dick Griffey cheated. You know, he just hit me all on top of my head and everything. and I was acting like I was crying and that he beat me real bad and I had to go to the hospital. You know, exaggeration.
That's a Dayton thing.
He liked that boxing room. I forgot he was a rough rider. Anyway, guys. I have another caller. Let me see who this is here. Let me see. Hold on.
Yes, maybe.
Caller area code 666.
Man, I just called back.
Oh, who's that?
I called back. This Parker.
Oh, hey, Parker. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
That took a long time.
I was trying
to
listen.
You could have had a child taking it to kindergarten in the length of time it took you to get back with us.
I think PC called me in between time.
All right.
Paul did. Okay,
well, I need to. Yeah. We're going to have some more callers calling in here. I want to play some more music, though, because, you know, the stuff that you guys did was just, you know, like I said, legendary, like we just been saying. It was just a blessing to so many people around the world. We have listeners overseas right now that are listening to this show and stuff, and they love you guys. They love the stuff that you guys – they're trying to get Lakeside overseas right now. They can't wait. And then, as a matter of fact, one of the people they were talking to was Will. And so, trying to get like.
Did you go to Japan with Will when he took Dynasty over there?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I practiced with him in Dayton. They started practicing in Dayton, but for some reason I didn't go either by the time they got ready to go. But I heard they did real good over there. You know, Mazer.
Rock Jones went and played bass with him one time, and then the next time Gant played with him.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just saw a picture of Gant.
Started,
I didn't realize he had played with him, too.
Yeah, we practiced over in that boys club over there on Summit or Euclid. Was that the boys club? Will came and got me, and we was practicing somewhere in the back over at the boys club. I think it was me or Will.
Wow.
I don't know who the drummer was he had. I think he had the keyboard player.
Probably
used to play with Slay. No, and Turner.
Mm.
Bradley.
Yeah,
Robert Bradley.
Oh, Bradley, okay. Right.
Yeah, he played keyboards. And, you know,
I don't think he went to Japan with, no.
But he got good reviews of him. Somebody was just talking to me about that, and I had just talked to Lamar about Will just before the day before he passed. We just talked. I was glad because of something Lamar had on Facebook, and I said, "Yeah, me and Will are always joking about the talent show with each other." And then I got up and looked on Facebook to see all that, and I'm like, "Wow." Because he was somebody else I was going to ask for some songs for PC because they was raised together.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right, well, listen, we're going to take a small music break, and we'll be right back with the brothers from Solar, the family.
I need you. Yes, I do.
Now even if you ask me to, I'm the only one who knows.
All right, guys. Ooh, that is one of my favorite songs. I enjoy going to the concerts and watching Lakeside from the side of the stage and how much passion they always have on stage. And I just want to thank you guys for that. Team, I remember watching you with Lakeside. And when we were a Dynasty, and we were on the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, and T. Meyer in the bus, our bus broke down, so we got to ride with T. Meyer and them. And T. Meyer was sitting there talking to me about God, and I thought he was going to talk to me about girls. And I'm a young 21-year-old. I'm thinking about how much fun we're going to have, and he's talking about God. And I'm like, are you serious? Did you, like, work for my mom or something? What's going on?
I worked for my mom. That's funny.
Cause she was like,
I was a special agent.
I'm a person. Yeah, exactly.
Special agent. Hey, that's so right.
But I'm so grateful to the day for that, man, because T. Meyer was really good at, you know, just trying to keep us on track and stuff, and regardless of the environment, he always had the right focus. And so I want to say again to him, I tell him all the time how much I appreciate him. Thank you, brother. Thanks for being a big brother and, you know, trying to do the right thing for us. Appreciate you very much.
Oh, thank you, man. And, praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Thank God for that. You know, I just wanted to say again, like the performance, the way that you guys used to perform, man, there was so much passion on the stage. And that's what I like, because you guys are so funky. But when you did ballet, it was so passionate. It was like, it was like, okay, we're going to go from being this funky group to a loving group. And it was so good. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there just learning. Like, I was in awe, just like the audience, like, good gracious, these guys. It's a wonderful thing. Who was in charge of the choreography?
Pretty much me. Thomas and I did the choreography, but it was always either me or me and Tommy. And a couple of times it was me and Otis. He did a couple of songs at one time. But Tommy wasn't available, you know, I would pull Otis and we would create something, but it was always me and somebody. So, and a lot of my background in the theater had a lot to do with that too, because, you know, the band wanted to just be a band, but I made them a part of the show. I had Stevie step up. I said, man, when you do your solos, you step up. And I had them put the spotlight on Stevie, you know, and so the band became, you know, we all became the show, you know. So
when did Will actually start getting in Lakeside? What was Will actually in Lakeside?
When did he actually
did
get
come
in Lakeside?
When did he come to Lakeside?
Did.
I know.
Well, let's see. The year that I left.
When Tommy left the first time, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
he had performed
with us. Even when all of us were still there, so we had Will come in and he played the keyboards, just maybe one or two gigs, not fully. And then, but after I left, after I actually left the group, that's when Will came in full time.
Oh, okay. Because I know
it was musical chairs there for quite a while.
Yeah, he was with Lakeside for a long time.
Lakeside was musical chairs for quite a while. I was in probably five or six different vocal versions of it. Otis came back once. I was there with Larry and with Oh man, I'm getting old.
So did you come in after Otis
and
Larry?
You know, and with Will, you know, I was with five different. I mean, it was always the band was the same, but different vocalists. And then some. You know, there was times where it was just me and Mark, and I felt really silly because it's like, you know, this group who has all this choreography.
So did you
got
come
one
in
guy
after
over here on the side.
Did you come in after?
And
Otis, Dana, you come in after Otis?
Yeah. No, everybody came in after that, but it's just Otis came back at one time, and me and him were in it at the same time. And Will came back, and I was in, you know, I was in it with Will a couple of different times, and Larry Bolton came back, and like I said, it was a revolving door, you know.
But you guys had a whole group
for
the lead singers.
Sometime, you know.
That sounds like a whole group full of lead singers, then, right? Everybody was lead singers.
When Otis came back, Mark and Otis were doing what they did. When Otis wasn't there, it was Dana Sings Otis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Dana,
Lakeside's Greatest Hits Live was me singing Otis the song. So people think it's Otis, but it's actually a very dark Dana Myers.
Dark Dana.
No,
okay.
But he did a
yeah.
And I have to say, Dana did a great job. He did a great job on those songs. I mean, when I heard it, I was like, man, it was great.
Now,
he did a great
job. You did a thing on stage, Dana, where you was imitating a whole lot of different voices or something, different people to sing. Did they have a section where you just did a lot of different people's styles or voices or something? Was that what Lakeside
was
doing?
That was
doing
like
that?
Way back. Ohio Hustlers and the Four Corners. That was back going that far.
Oh,
back.
Hey. Ohio Hustlers. Wow.
Somebody told me I heard you do that out of. About. Oh, okay.
What happened?
I said, did you do that out of Island Park?
What happened, though? I couldn't hear you.
I said, did you do that out at Island Park? I remember hearing a lot of people telling me about this guy that was singing and doing all these.
No, we just did the regular platypus thing. You know, everybody thought I was from Mars because I played an auto harp.
that's your name.
I was talking to Steve Arrington the other day. We did an interview and stuff, and he was even on that. We were supposed to be talking about him, but he brought that up. He said, "Who does that? Who plays auto harp?"
Hold on one second, Parker. We have another caller I want to get in because we're running out of time. Caller area code 951. Who do we have?
This is Gary Wilkerson.
Hey, Gary.
Gary Wilkerson.
All right. You got Dana Myers, T. Meyer McCain, Ron Parker, and myself on the line. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great, man. How you fellas doing? T. Meyer, what's happening?
Good. You got it, man. How you been?
Man, I have been doing great, man. Blessed.
Good.
Blessed. I know that's right. We've all shared, you know, some of our thoughts and feelings about William Shelby and stuff. And so I want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything that comes to mind that you want to share in regards to William Shelby, you know, you got the floor.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, when I first heard the news about Will, of course, like everyone else, I was stunned. And my mind immediately reverted back to day one when I first met Will, which I believe was 1977, when he first came to L.A. I was probably the first person outside of Lakeside and, you know, other people from Dayton that he got to know in the L.A. area. And, of course, we became roommates. Our flat, our living quarters, was at the infamous Doo Doo Records for quite some time because.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. So we lived there. We ate there. We slept there. We did the music thing. Of course, at that time I was hanging around Lakeside and just kind of forming my way and locking in a position with them doing anything and everything that I saw needed to be done. And so that's how I ended up doing production with them. But my relationship with Will was very intense because he and I were together all the time, every day, all day. And I actually got to show him around L.A. a little bit when he first came and just also watch him blossom as a songwriter, you know. Naughty. We call him Naughty. And,
we were talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is, in watching him so much, I could tell when he had a hit brewing by the way he nodded his head. And sure enough, you know, a lot of great hits came out of him. One of the things I remember vividly when he first came, you know, he started getting kind of homesick. You know, we were kids, man. We were young. And he started getting homesick, and especially for the young lady that used to be his girlfriend. I think it was actually his first daughter's mother. And we used to talk about that, you know, the loneliness and here's what happened. He started talking about if he could have another chance, you know, and out of that conversation, he started coming up with the concept for Second Time Around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about that and just thinking about the honor that I had just sitting around, just being around someone like that, you know. And thanks to T. Meyer and to Lakeside that, you know, here I was a guy, a transplant from Pennsylvania, trying to find my way in the entertainment business. And these guys took me in as a brother, you know.
You just they made Wardell very happy because from just about coming from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, we were neighbors, you know. He was Philadelphia and I was down the road in Harrisburg.
As a matter of fact, Wardell,
we made it to L.A. the same way. I jumped on a Greyhound bus with, you know, how the old movies do. Your mom gives you a brown paper bag with some lunch in it and a couple dollars.
Those brown paper bags are wonderful.
Yeah.
I actually started kindergarten school in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
We all longed for those brown paper bags after we got out here, too. It's like, please, please, you know.
Somebody. Hey, hold on, guys. Yeah. Gary, is there anything else? I have another caller, so you can stay on. I'm going to just bring this other caller in, okay, real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Sure, no
caller
problem.
Caller from area code 313. I believe that's Detroit.
That's Detroit.
Hello. That's Detroit.
Hi.
How are you, sweetheart?
Yes. I'm hanging in there. This is Julianne. Just wanted to call and just say hello to you guys for a quick minute, and then I'll continue letting you talk. But I just wanted to give my condolences to William's family and the whole Solar family and everything. You know, it was a great loss. You know, and I just remember Lakeside coming to Detroit, and I would always go to the Solar Galaxy of Stars reviews. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about Lakeside is the audience on Giving Into Love. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was always so nice, you know, the whole Solar family, you know, everybody was always so nice.
I posted a picture of you and William together.
That was just over the summer. I want to say it was in August, and I had been waiting for Lakeside to come to Detroit for the longest. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that was in Detroit. I saw a big ship behind you or something.
That was a fantastic voyage.
Was it?
Like outside of Detroit. It was Pontiac. It was a Pontiac festival, Pontiac Music Festival. So we went to go to that. Yeah. Uh huh. And it was Lakeside, Midnight Star, and Ronnie McNear, Yeah. Was my name on that one? I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, just call him to say hello. Lakeside's always one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody from Solar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, Julian. And you take care.
Oh, no
and
problem
thank
at
you
all.
So much. Thank you for, you know, for supporting and going online and buying the shirts and hats and stuff for Solar Records Radio. We appreciate that. You're definitely a wonderful person that just, you know, she walks the walk, she talks the talk, she does the whole thing. So we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Somehow I feel like I'm losing you guys here. But anyway, but thank you, sweetheart. God bless you. And you take care.
Okay, thank
you. Anything else
thank
you want to say? Because we have a member, original member, T. Meyer from Lakeside on the line. You want to say anything to him?
Hi, T. Meyer. How you doing?
I'm doing
so I have a picture
fine.
With you. Yes, I have a picture with you, T. Meyer. It's about 40 years old. You guys were at the record shop in Detroit.
Don't say that.
So we were by the side. Yes. Yeah. So... I've been following you guys for a long time.
That is so
wow,
good to hear.
Yeah,
yes, it was at a record shop. And it was so funny because we were on our – I'm sorry, what was that? I'm going to find that picture so I can send it to you.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Post it.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
You got another call. Okay, thank
yes.
you so much.
And
okay.
you guys enjoy. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. All right,
so
okay. Hey, hold on, let me see. Call us.
40 years, we're by
area code. Keep. Call
40
us.
40 years.
217 area code. Who do we have?
Hello?
Call from 217 area. Yes. Hi.
Hi, Wardell. This is Celestine.
Oh, hi, Celestine. How you been?
I've been good. Just, you know, trying to process everything with what's happened and everything with William.
Yeah,
but what I called in for, because I just wanted to let, just let you know that Lakeside was really my group. You know, as far as listening, they were a funky group. I mean, man, when me and William was together and everything like that, he would, the shows that we went to, I mean, when I went to see them perform, Lakeside perform, they were always on fire. They were always on fire.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just wanted to,
yeah,
I didn't really know when, I didn't know William until like 1989 or something. And that's when he was trying to get Dynasty back together. And boy, he was so hard on me. He wanted everything in the pocket. And I just really wanted to say he was really a great guy. He really was a great guy.
Yeah.
And everything.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
and that's,
that.
And that's basically
appreciate
what
that.
I wanted to say. That's basically what I wanted
to
say.
I remember you. I think you came to my house one time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I remember. That was a long time ago. Yeah, but thank you.
That was
a long time
ago.
Yeah, Will brought you over to my house.
30 years.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and
well,
then I,
you know.
Yeah, and then later on, I moved to Ohio when he was trying to get the band and stuff back together, and I think I did a few tours with them.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who was in the band then?
That's what I was
wondering. Who was in the band when you did the work with them?
Oh, who was in the band?
Yeah,
the first one was there, Bradley. Bradley was on the keyboard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I think the last tour we went, I think it was Gant. Gant went over there with us.
Yeah, I saw a picture when you guys
took
Gant. I just saw that picture.
Yeah, and Reggie Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then this last one,
that was
2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 2007.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
I didn't hear you, sweetheart. What'd you say?
I said in 2007 it was a young lady by the name of Shandy Ray. She was over there. That was our last one. And yeah, I learned. Yeah, I learned so much because the first time we went over there, I had never really. And this is why I respect William and Dynasty and you guys so much, is because that was my first time ever, like, going in the presence of veterans. You know, you guys were amazing. A lot of things that I've seen, yeah. I just had the honor of just even being on that bandwagon at that time. But the first year that I went over there, I was just trying to feel my way in. Because I am a songwriter. When I first met William, I was, like, doing modeling and movie extras and all that stuff. And so I was doing all that when we met. And I may stumble over my words because I'm still kind of grieving and everything, because I'm starting to kind of cry a little bit now. But, yeah, I just –
Okay.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We do appreciate you. And and thank you so much for, you know, calling in and sharing that information that you shared. And I'm sorry, you know, for the loss of our brother as well. So I know how you feel.
Yeah.
It's very difficult when something like this happens. But you know, we have to trust God in it. We have to trust God in it. And so. Everything's going to be okay. All right. So, I have another caller. So you're welcome, Sue. You take care, and thanks for calling. And God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye bye. God bless.
Okay. Bye bye. Bye bye. Well, anyway.
Did she go to Japan with Will?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was during the time when I was practicing with him. That's why I was, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious. Hey, Don Fleming, you have any questions or anything you want to say about William Shelby's thoughts?
Man, you know, I co-sign everything you guys say, man. I'm just a, you know, fly on the wall of in y'all solar world. So I do appreciate, you know. I do appreciate, you know, the wholesome, the purity of you guys' sentiments about Will, and of course he'll definitely be missed. I don't even need to say that, you know, but I want to thank you guys for, you know, taking the time out of your schedule and just sharing your thoughts and everything. So I really appreciate it. Again, please, I'm just a fly on the wall just listening to you guys. So I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So I'm going to just go around and let everybody have some closing remarks and stuff. And T. Meyer, I'm going to come to you last. So Ron Parker, go ahead and start it off, and then Dana Meyer.
Well, all I'll do is say rest in peace, bro. I love you. And it was a pleasure to get to do music with you, and like, all the support musically and as a person that he gave me over the years.
Mm. Awesome. Okay, thank you. Dana?
I don't even have words. It's too rough. Like I said, I met the guy when he was about 8 or 9 years old. So
yeah. Okay.
I'm still in a bit of denial, actually, if you want to know the truth about it. But we're all going to miss him. There isn't even words to say, you know. All the time we spent together, there's no way to even put that into words. It's just, you know, I don't know how we're going, but we'll deal with it. You know, we'll have to deal with it. It's just still a surprise. Nobody would ever expect that he was being healthy, going to the gym constantly, and I'm still in shock. So, but love the brother, always will.
Okay, now my turn. And then, T. Meyer, after I do this, will you close us out in prayer after you say what you're going to say?
Yeah,
and I'm going to. I just want to say thank you so much to everybody, all of the people that Facebook can be a little difficult sometimes, but it was amazing through this time when so many people just you know saying how you know my condolences and stuff. It's just wonderful to know that you know that how much love is out there for Will, and how much
of
it, yeah, and how much you know he blessed people through you know his personal experience as well as his creative experience, and that his beautiful smile that he shared with the world.
Beautiful smile,
and
yeah.
So yes, I want to also thank Greg and Astrid on our team here that blesses us, that helped to put all the information out and make the flyers and stuff for this show. For
amazing work.
The additional flyers.
Yeah,
yeah amazing
absolutely
work.
Absolutely amazing work.
Yes, so I want to thank them. And then and I love you guys, William Shelby. You know, I loved you from the beginning, and I'll love you continuously. So you might not be here, but you're in our hearts, and we thank you so much for blessing all of us with your gifts and with who you are. Thank you so much. And rest in peace with your creator. And now, T. Meyer, it's on you, go.
Okay, I just want to say that I'm grateful for the time that I've known William and witnessed his growth in music as a person. I'm also grateful for his contribution to the music industry. And I just want to really, at this point, I want to lift up the families and friends of William and say a prayer concerning that. Father God, we come before you humbly. We come before you. And we ask that you comfort the friends and family of William Shelby, Thomas Shelby, his older brother, his children, and all the people involved in his life, and also the people that he's worked with and recorded with, performed with, all the people that knew him and worked with him, been around him. We just ask that you lift them up, Lord. We lift them up before you, Lord, asking that you mend their broken hearts, because there are many people hurting right now. Mend the broken hearts, Lord. Give them comfort during this time. Let your peace be upon them, that they can be encouraged at the thought of what William meant to them and continue to move forward in their lives. Help them, O God, during this time with your peace and comfort and your love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, thank you again for everything. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk soon again on Soul Records Radio or whenever. And Dana, just keep us posted about if it's this year or next year, the beginning of next year. I'll definitely be out there at the beginning of next year for Dynasty. Dynasty has a new record coming out December 1st. So I'll be out there. Excuse me, with the rep company and stuff. And
we're going to try to do something for Will when Lakeside is playing Oxnard on the 19th or the 20th. One of those days. We're going to try to do it when they're in town. You know, but we're just working the details out now. Lamar is working the details out, and you know, I'll let all of you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's going to be a Memorial Day too, isn't there?
Yeah, there'll be something to date. It's already been on the news.
Yeah, he's reserved something for the 20th already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you. All right,
guys.
Love
you guys, man.
All
right. Thank you, Roger. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay.
Blessings all.